And such is the gospel. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that you can spend years and years and years going through it, and you haven't got anywhere near the bottom. Well, this is one of the best-known stories. Hands up who's heard this story before. Zacchaeus is a little fella. He's not just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. He's an important man. He's a wealthy man. And my focus is on the fact that we are told Zacchaeus is determined. He resolves. He decides. He is going to see this Jesus. He's going to do whatever it takes. He wants to find out who Jesus is. He's determined to see Jesus. There's something ironic about the story. Zacchaeus' name actually means righteous one. But Zacchaeus was anything but righteous. He was, what we used to say years ago, as bent as a butcher's hook. He was a dodgy second-hand car salesman, except he'd done very, very well. I remember some years ago, there was an event over the Phoenix there, and we were there, and it was a religious celebrity. And he said to me, oh, they're good people up here in Town Hill. And I said to him, I mean, the guy's really, in fact, he'd been a minister of a church. And I said, when he said, oh, they're all good people up here, aren't they? I said, well, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, yes, he said, oh, but they got good hearts up here, haven't they? I said, there is none good, no, not one. And then he was silent. The truth is, we all have our standards. Yours may be higher or lower than mine, but none of us meet anywhere near our own standards, and we don't meet God's standards. And here's this chap, Zacchaeus. Before conversion, I'd have liked him. I would have. I had lots of mates like this who were always looking for a quick way to make a lot of money, and it didn't matter if it was slightly dodgy or very dodgy even. But here's this fellow, Zacchaeus. He just can't see what he is, for a start. He doesn't see what he is. When my girls were very small, we went to a zoo, and we were going around all the animals. We came to where the rhino were, and the rhino was right against, there was this steel bars of the fence, and the rhino was right against the fence. So we were like inches away from him, you know? And one of my daughters was standing right by the fence looking. All she could see was a gray wall, you see? And she was going, where's the rhino? I said, he's there. Where's the rhino? I can't see the rhino. Well, because all she could see, she just couldn't see. It was right there, though. Now, you imagine this little guy in Jericho. There's a bit of a racket. There's a commotion. He starts to say, what's going on? What's going on? What's the commotion here? Somebody says, oh, it's Jesus, you know, the peasant preacher. You know, Jesus has been preaching for 3 years now. His name has got around here and there. What's going on? What's the commotion? Oh, it's Jesus, the peasant preacher. Well, the one from Nazareth, all the way up there. Yeah, what's he doing down here? Well, you know, I don't know. Perhaps he's on his way to Jerusalem. I don't know what he's doing. Which one is he? They try to describe him, but I can't see though, because everybody's taller than me. I can't see. What's he look like? Oh, this is hopeless. I can't see over the crowd. And so he does something that wealthy men of a certain age would never do in those days. He runs. You see people sometimes crossing the road in the city, and they've just come out of the courts or something. They're in their big suits, you know, their posh suits. And they're a bit careless, and so they have to speed up. They're walking sedately with their briefcases across the road, you know. And they have to speed up, and they do a little embarrassed skip. Because they don't want to just sprint, because it doesn't fit in with their demeanor, this reputation they want to show. And in those days, wealthy men didn't run, and he runs. And then he climbs a tree. Now, kids climb trees, but certainly adults didn't climb trees, especially the chief tax collector climbing a tree. But he's determined. He must have looked ridiculous, but he's determined. And that's my point. He is determined. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, is that you? Whoever said to yourself, I don't care what anybody else says, I am going to find out, is this Jesus really who he says he is? Have we ever done that? There was a film I saw many years ago, an excellent film called The Odessa File. It was set the year that Kennedy was shot, so in the early 60s. It's about this German, young German man called Miller, and his father was killed in the war. So this is like 20 years after his father had died. But he wants to find out what exactly were the circumstances that surrounded his father's death. And he finds out that his father was killed. His father was a German officer. His father was actually murdered by an SS officer. So his father, who was a German officer in the army, was actually executed by a German SS officer. And now, when Miller hears that, he is determined now to find out exactly what happened and to find the man who did it. And the whole film is about that. Now, and I can understand absolutely somebody saying, right, I am definitely, I'm going to find out. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it takes. I am going to find the man responsible for this. And that is the main preoccupation of Miller's mind. He's thinking all the time. This drives him on. He wants to find the truth. What about you? Have you ever met somebody who was resolute, determined to find the truth about something? About 6 or 7 years ago, my father told me that he never knew who his grandfather was and that he wanted to find out. He couldn't use the internet, so he asked me, will you get on the internet? Will you find out, if you can, who my grandfather was? And he just wanted to know who he was, and we were able to do it. Here's Zacchaeus. He's determined. I'm going to find out who this Jesus is. I am going to see him. Now, what you know, or most of us know, perhaps all of us, and Zacchaeus didn't, was this was Jesus' last trip to Jericho. He wasn't going to stay overnight. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to die there. So for Zacchaeus, though he didn't know it, it was now or never. He would never have another chance. This really was his last chance. And you know, there are many reasons why I love this story. One of them is, it just reminds me of me. Little fella, like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had an option. He had a choice here. He could have said, what's the racket, Jesus? Oh, forget it. I'm not interested. I can't be bothered. But he didn't. I just think there was a huge commotion here, which prompted Zacchaeus. There was a huge commotion in early months of 1988 for me. And I had an option. I had a choice to say, oh, this Jesus is rubbish or it's real. And that's what I wanted to find out. And I was determined, if I could, to find out, is all this stuff about Jesus true? Is it real or is it rubbish? And I really wanted it to be rubbish because I wouldn't have changed my life at all. I wanted my life to carry on. I was having a great time. I was really enjoying my selfish existence. I didn't want anybody to come and show that I was wrong. But I had to find out because it was important. Could I just, with a clear conscience, just carry on living my self-absorbed life? Or was this Jesus, the Son of God? Did he die on the cross for people like me? And you know, once you've discovered who Jesus is, this is what happens to Zacchaeus. Once you realize who Jesus is, it's a no-brainer. Once you realize who he is, that he holds your fragile little life in his hand, all he has to do is tighten, you're gone. Once you realize who he is, it's no contest. It's no contest. And if you realize who he is the Son of God. He did die for sinners in the place of sinners on the cross. Once you've seen who he is, there's only one reasonable response. You give in. You surrender. You ask him to save you, or you say, have mercy on me, or whatever words, but you surrender. As C.S. Lewis, who wrote all the Narnia things, what he said the day of his conversion, I let God be God. That's it. You give in. C.T. Studd, wealthy aristocrat, brilliant sportsman of a previous generation, he wrote this, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, no sacrifice I make can be too much. In other words, once you've realized who Jesus is, it's a no-brainer. Zacchaeus did all he could to find out who Jesus was. He ran. That was weird. He climbed the tree. Even more weird. The question I have for you is, have you resolved to find out who he is? I know you all nod and say you believe. Anybody can nod anything, can't they? Imagine I've lost my phone. It happens on a daily basis in my house. Imagine I've lost my phone. And I say to my wife, oh, I don't know, I haven't seen my phone. Yes, she says, I know exactly where it is. It's on the windowsill in the back bedroom. We have two bedrooms. It's on the windowsill in the back bedroom. Imagine I say, no, I wouldn't have left it there. No, I'm not looking there, because I would definitely wouldn't have left it there. I'm not looking there. Well, if I don't look there, I'll never find it, because that's where it is, isn't it? It's that simple, isn't it? And people say that, you know, if there's a God, you know, why doesn't he do this? But God has provided loads of evidence. But if people are not looking, and I wonder, are you like that? Some of you are probably like that. You know lots about Jesus, like the kids, you hear the story 100 times, the parable of the sower, but you just can't be bothered to look, to really look. Because once you look and find, everything falls into place, mind. You can't say, oh yeah, you know, when I meet people who are bored in church, completely bored every week, say, oh yeah, I believe. No, you don't. Because once you've seen, everything will change. You'll never be bored again. And yet, people like you, you look, or you say you look, but somehow it doesn't change your life. And yet you know you've got a soul. Actually, you haven't got a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. You won't always have this body, but you are a soul. That's what you are. And a time is coming when this body will die, will fall apart, to be burnt or rot. But the real you goes on forever. But where? Two destinations. Do I have to flag it up every week? There are two destinations, two possibilities. You know what they are. You know, do you have to be told the seriousness of your situation? You're a sinner. You know, trout and salmon don't have to enroll for swimming lessons. It's natural. And here we are. Nobody has to teach us to sin. Nobody has to teach us to be selfish. It's effortless. It's just so easy. For Zacchaeus, he has to look a bit ridiculous running, and even more ridiculous climbing a tree. But it's worth it. The most important thing, who is this Jesus? And I've got a great book. It's called Betrayed. A man called Stan wrote it. His daughter went off to university, came back at the end of the first term, and shared some news with her parents. The news was devastating. Stan was furious. Why? Had she been attacked? Raped? Had she had an abortion? Had she failed all her exams? No, she'd become a Christian. He was tamping mad. He was furious because he was a Jew. We are Jews, he said. We're not Christians. We are Jews. This is betrayal, he said to her. She stood her ground. She'd found Jesus. Once you find Jesus, everything changes. So he said to her, I'm going to research this Christianity. I'm going to prove you wrong. And he looked and he studied. Hours and hours and hours of study. But the evidence is overwhelming, see. The truth became so clear. Now he's looked, he's found out who Jesus is. What's the next step? Once you see who he is, Stan has saved himself, becomes a Christian. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. What about you? Where are you in all this? Whoever finds Jesus finds life. Have you found him? Have you looked? I remember a Friday afternoon going to a comprehensive school in the valleys some years ago now to take what I thought was a 1 hour RE lesson with one class. Instead, they'd heard I was coming. They put all the kids, like 200 of these 15, 16 year olds in the hall all afternoon and said, basically entertain them. And I asked a few questions, and then wonderfully, they started to ask brilliant questions about why did you become a Christian? How did you become a Christian? What does it mean? And so on. And I remember right at the end then, one young lady coming up on her own and saying, so now I've been in church all my life, she said, with my mom and dad, and now you explain what a Christian is. I'm no one, am I? I'm no one, am I? What am I then if I'm not a Christian? And I said, well, you're a lovely Rhonda girl. But you know, the great thing is, I'll tell you this. God says, if you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. Have you sought him? Are you seeking him? I read this morning of a chap in Acts chapter 8, and Peter says to him about his wickedness, you need to repent. Perhaps God will forgive you. Oh, that perhaps is so powerful, isn't it? No guarantee, is it? No guarantee. You need to seek and you will find. Amen. Let's sing three verses. Great old hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, we got nothing.